back. My name is Brendan Ipp, a registered physiotherapist based out of Vancouver, British Columbia, and welcome to the third episode of The Run Lab. Here at The Run Lab, we hope to provide an informative and up-to-date source of insights into breaking down the process and physiology behind running, the most common injuries, and the novel ways to treat and correct the imbalances that cause them. We'll also try to delve into the mindset of a runner and touch on less technical topics such as how to get motivated to run, how to build the habit of running, and today we will be exploring a new topic that we haven't touched on before, and that is going to be the more practical topic of how to get into running. Now, every runner you know comes from a different background, upbringing, and has a different path to the sport of running. So today I'll be sharing a little bit about how I found the sport of running, some crowning achievements, and even the times I felt discouraged and stepped away from the sport. And hopefully by the end of today, by understanding how I developed my relationship with the sport of running, it'll help you to define and develop your own path to running. And as always, for those of you tuning into this podcast for the first time, and as a reminder to those who listen in every week, the information presented today is based on research, clinical experience, and my own thoughts and preferences, but is not intended as a substitute for medical advice. So if you are suffering from a specific injury or condition, please seek help from a registered physiotherapist or other qualified health practitioner so that you can be accurately assessed and diagnosed. So if you break running down into its fundamentals, everybody knows how to run. We ran as kids in the schoolyard playing cops and robbers. We played tag after school. We ran home as sweaty messes trying to get back in time for dinner before the street lamps turned on. And for some of us, even as kids, we loved the competition of racing against someone else. And perhaps it was the competitive drive of being the first one in line at the classroom door to go to the gym, or the stubbornness of not wanting to lose another game of capture the flag. But I think that was where I first learned to love running. Simply the desire to not be the first one who gives up. And you've heard me say it in previous episodes, and I've gone into it into more detail in blog posts before, but I've never felt that I was particularly talented or skilled at running. And I know that some people out there are going to scoff and say, "All right, here we go. Brendan's humble bragging again." But I'm 100% serious. Throughout my running career, I've known for a lot of people to progress and get faster and fitter than I have. And it might not seem like it because I still run faster than they do. And respectively speaking, you know, I many of them have even raced their first half marathons and clocked times that I wasn't able to even touch until my second or third races. But it's simply a matter of time investment. People don't necessarily see the hours you put in. They only see the results. But no matter where you are in your running, whether you're a beginner or a veteran, it's that hard work that makes for improvement. That early morning run that you sneak in before anyone's awake. That post-work jog on an empty stomach. Or that lazy Saturday afternoon that you force yourself out to take advantage of the last few hours of sunlight. Those are the moments that no one sees. And those are the moments that make the runner. So as we get into the topic of how to get into running, I feel that there are a few components and areas that I want to talk about that are relevant to understanding the process, not just as a short-term form of exercise, but as a long-term form of fulfillment and enjoyment. So when I was growing up, running was simply a means to an end. Whether it was playing a sport or whether it was a game, it wasn't something I put a lot of thought into. But in the first grade, I had a teacher that changed everything for me. Her name was Gwen McFarlane. Now, I didn't know at the time, but she was an avid runner in her own right, and even in 2009, I believe she went on to set a Masters Marathon World Record for the women's category age 75 to 80 for the fastest marathon time, and she was actually the first one in that category to reach a sub-4-hour marathon. So how did she flip my world upside down about running without even telling me she was a runner? Well, she had a few tricks up her sleeve. I remember quite vividly one day at the beginning of spring when I walked into class to find this giant yellow chart up on the wall that said Kilometer Club across the top in big block letters. Being the numbers and statistics geek that I was instantly intrigued. Along the left-hand side of the chart, there's a list of all the kids' names in class, and as I scanned horizontally to the right, you could find a never-ending row of hash marks, sort of like physics graphing paper, you know, like the kind with the squares. And so the concept was quite simple. Before class, during recess, and during lunch, we were free to run laps around the school. Every time you completed a lap, you collect one popsicle stick, symbolizing the completion of one lap. Four laps, therefore, gets you four popsicle sticks and the completion of one full kilometer. When the bell rang, we would go back inside and hand in our popsicle sticks, and our kilometers would be added to the bar graph on the wall. This would go on for about 2 months every spring, and whoever had the most kilometers at the end would be awarded with a gold medal and the recognition that came with it. And so this was a defining moment for me, because for the very first time, I had an objective. It was not something that piqued everyone's interest, you know. It might not have meant much to some people, because some people didn't even want to run. But I had the singular goal of collecting popsicle sticks. And I remember just clutching on to those popsicle sticks with a death grip as I made my way around the school and chasing after that coveted first place gold medal. I'm not even sure why, but I was just hooked. It was all I could do or think about. But it gave me focus and it gave my running a purpose. And that's what you need to do. First and foremost, you need to find a purpose for your running. Do you run because you have a concrete goal of losing 10 pounds in order to get back in shape? Do you run as a release because work is stressful? Or do you run just as a means of socializing with a group of friends? Whatever the case may be, you need to identify this purpose, this singular goal. Because oftentimes when we think about getting into running and we start goal setting, we feel encouraged. We feel excited and energetic at having a new endeavor, and we feel empowered. But as soon as we lace up the runners and we're 5 minutes into the run, or when you get home after work a little late and you feel kind of tired, or maybe you just plain old feel like procrastinating, we find a reason not to run. And that's the time you need to think about that goal. Setting your mind on this goal allows for you to put things in perspective, that you're intentional in what you do. So that in times where you are struggling to find the motivation to go and run, you can look at that goal to refocus. So do whatever you need to do. Get a friend to be your accountability partner. Write it on your fridge. Meditate on it. Put sticky notes everywhere. But you need to set that goal first so that you can find a purpose for running. Secondly, there's barrier to entry. So I want you to all sit back and think about one time that you might have tried to make plans with a friend, perhaps for a lunch meeting or something, and they said to you, oh, I'm actually a little short on time, or I only have like about an hour. Or maybe they say, oh, actually, I already have lunch plans that day. What did you do? Perhaps you adjusted the offer. Maybe you downgraded from lunch to a coffee. Maybe you offered to drive to them so that they didn't need to go anywhere too far. In other words, you made it easy for them to say yes. So in the same way, when you're getting into running, you have to make it easy for yourself to say yes. You might be able to go out and crank out a 10-kilometer run to try out a new pair of shoes, but you might feel sore. Or maybe the excitement of new shoes won't last. It's human nature to want to push ourselves hard in the moment when we can, or when we feel motivated enough to do so, almost as a way of getting the work in while we can, or doing it today so that we don't have to do it tomorrow. But running is a different animal. Improvement in running comes from consistency. And I know that I probably sound like a broken record by now, but consistency and sticking to your running regimen is what will help you become a better runner. Now, I'm not saying that there isn't a benefit of a long, hard run. That's actually far from it. But there's a time and a place. And when you're just starting out, you benefit from running consistently. By getting out 2 or maybe even 3 times a week, just to go for a short 2-3 kilometer run, you could be getting consistent mileage out, which will help you build that aerobic engine to develop your cardiovascular endurance, to get you in better shape, and to improve your VO2 max, which we'll later find out in later episodes when we dive a little bit deeper into the science of running. Your VO2 max is your body's ability to efficiently use oxygen. So make it easy on yourself. If you've never gone running before consistently, just try to build the habit. Aim to get out once a week or whatever speed you feel like, but try to get a couple kilometers or a few kilometers under your belt. You should feel like you did something outside of your normal, but you shouldn't feel so exhausted or sore that you don't want to do it again. Don't compare to other people. Decide on a plan of action that works for your schedule, but just try to find consistency. Next, we come to a component that's a little hard to describe or put into words, as it means something different for everyone, but I like to call it passion. Like any other difficult challenge or task, getting an accountability partner or building a routine to find that consistency, that's a great way to start getting into it. But how do you stick with it? Even running can become old or boring. You know, even me personally, even though I run sometimes 4 or 5 or even 6 times a week, I would be lying if I said that I'm always excited to go running. You hear it all the time from very experienced runners and even those who look to qualify for the Olympics. They can lose passion for the sport, and that can make for some awfully lonely kilometers on the road. If you don't enjoy the process of running, your training will suffer. You won't push yourself as much, you'll start to cut corners, and you'll cut mileage. So how do you prevent this burnout? When the excitement of running in your Lululemon shorts wears off, when your bright, shiny white runners have a few scuff marks and no longer feel brand new, when it's fall and the weather's cloudy, or maybe you've just fallen into the rut of consistency and you start to feel bored with your running schedule, try to enjoy the little things. Most of our lives, we go out about our day without paying attention to the things around us. We often tunnel vision and we overlook the little things, like observing our surroundings, the number of people we see walking on the street as we drive to work, or maybe the sounds of the birds chirping when it's a little bit silent when we look up from the computer. Running provides a method of transportation, kind of like a vehicle, but with the pace where you can actually take in the world around you. When you drive, you move far too fast to observe the things around you, and when you walk, you don't nearly get far enough to explore your own backyard even. But running can calm your mind and give you that time to reflect. Running is the best balance of both of those, and it can provide you calm during a busy schedule. So the next time you go for a run, I recommend running without headphones. Shocking, right? People are always actually surprised when I tell them that I normally run without listening to music or podcasts. And they always ask me, well, Brendan, like, what do you do to preoccupy or distract yourself then? And if I'm being perfectly blunt, I don't want to distract myself. Not only does it help me get a better grasp of how my body feels when I run, but it also gives me the time to soak in my surroundings. Learn to live for the moments, not the events and activities of your life, but for the breaks in between. Learn to love the process of pushing yourself, of hearing the rhythmic pace of your feet striking the asphalt, or gasping for air as you race to make a light. Learn to love solitude and the last rays of sun as it sets behind the trees. Love the smile that your partner gives you as you both jog along at whatever speed your legs want to. Just learn to love being in the present. Next, I want to talk about racing. And this can be a contentious topic for some people, actually. There'll be some people who say that you don't need to race if you don't want to be competitive. And I'll be honest, there's a lot of truth to that. But if you ask me, I'll still encourage people to sign up for a race at some point. It doesn't have to be a marathon or an international race on the other side of the world. It could just be a local 5K charity run or simply running the Sun Run each year with your family or coworkers. And the reason I say this is because running is a community. So one of the running memories I'll cherish for a long time is lining up in the corral before running the Standard Chartered Singapore Marathon in 2019. Now, this was my first international race and in the city that my mom grew up in. It was so strange to be a tourist there, but yet I felt so connected in so many ways. And it wasn't even a great performance on my part. It was actually, to date, my slowest marathon, and almost everything that could go wrong did go wrong. Now, I barely made it to my corral on time due to traffic, so I actually ended up having to leave my taxi in the middle of the street, and I had to run a few kilometers just to get to the starting line in some, like, 30-some-odd degrees temperature. And like I was feeling really hot, but not feeling so hot, if you know what I mean. I ended up having to walk a lot of the marathon even. And I still will embrace that memory because it feels encouraging to be part of something greater than myself. To lay out my running outfit in the hotel room the night before the race, to feel a little bit anxious as I line up at the start line, and just to see the community come out with signs and strangers cheering you on as you run by, it gave me direction for my training and the lead up in the months beforehand and a goal for each season of running. So get out and join a running group or start one with a bunch of friends. Maybe even get your coworkers to register a corporate team for a race. Running can be a great time to meditate and find solace alone, but it can also be an amazing opportunity to bring people together. And so, speaking of races, it kind of leads me to achievements. This past season of running has been a fruitful one for me personally. This year, I pushed myself a lot, both in training and in time management, and particularly in races. And I did a lot of vision planning, goal setting, and I'm actually, to be honest, pretty proud that it paid off. Leading up to the Fall Classic this past February in Vancouver, I was getting ready for the fastest race of the year. And the Fall Classic in Vancouver is known to be the fast one that we have here because of the combination of the course design and the time of the year resulting in a brisk and fast race where many runners set personal bests. And I had trained to run at a goal pace of 4 minutes and 15 seconds per kilometer, which would result in a new personal best, and it would have been my first time clocking in a sub 130 half marathon. But right as the race started, it became really clear to me that the pacer and the group around me were running significantly faster than that pace that I had set. And they continued this blistering pace of nearly 4 minutes a kilometer, and doubt immediately set in as I had never trained for anything this fast, and I was starting to feel it already. But whether it was the stubbornness of not wanting to remove myself from the pack, or maybe because I just caught up in the endorphins on race day, but I tried to stick with them. And as the race went on, I actually gained confidence. My legs were feeling solid, and they continued along underneath me without really missing a beat. And as I counted down the kilometers, I noticed that I was slowly passing people. So whether it's hitting a certain pace threshold for the first time or going out for your longest run, it's important to celebrate achievements. Now, you shouldn't base your running on achievements, but recognizing these moments of success and the completion of goals is important for running psychology. You should be proud of yourself for doing the things that you do, and it affirms that what you're doing is yielding good results. So much like that, I take a lot of pride in clocking my personal best at that Fall Classic, of maintaining that pace that I wasn't prepared for the entire way, and actually exceeding my goals by significantly more than what I originally thought I was capable of doing. And lastly, I want to talk about grit and consistency, or in other words, the mindset of a runner. Now, there isn't necessarily a lot to talk about for this part, but no matter what your training program is, whether you run once a week or 3 times a week, running is a long-term endeavor. No one gets great at running in a month. It takes months and years to build the habit and see improvement, and there will be times where you won't even see improvement. Many times in my own running, I seem to hit plateaus with my training. Perhaps I'm trying to do faster intervals and I just get stuck, unable to go faster no matter how hard I try. It can be disheartening because after all, we're trying to self-improve. And if you put in the work expecting to see the results, sometimes I have to stop and remind myself about why I started running. So when I hit those plateaus and I feel discouraged, I remember that I run because I'm able to. I try to remind myself of the goals that I set and the purpose for running of my own is simply to try and improve each time I lace up my shoes. I make it easier on myself. I build my confidence back up, perhaps going on a longer but slower run, something that makes my legs feel strong. I take off my headphones and I enjoy the sights and sounds I hear when I run. I embrace the extra kilometers that I usually don't get to do. Or maybe I go out for a nighttime run just to change things up so I can see the night lights and cool breeze as I make my way through the city. When I finish my run, I celebrate the victory, have some ice cream, post it on Instagram, whatever I feel like to recognize the success. And lastly, I remind myself that if I try hard enough at something for long enough, that the improvement will happen. So as you get on out there on your runs this week, or if you're heading out there for the first time to break in a new pair of shoes, remember, firstly, to set a goal. Find a purpose for your running. Number two, make it easy on yourself. Number three, learn to live in the moment and to love those small things and those small moments. Number four, celebrate your achievements. And number five, just keep running. So that's all for this week. Again, my name is Brendan Ip, registered physiotherapist based out of Vancouver, British Columbia, and tune in next time to the Run Lab.